Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Skincare with Friends.
This week on Skincare with Friends, we are talking about vitamin C again. So there were a few questions that I didn't feel that we had answered last time. So I wanted to go back to the scientific studies and find out the answers to some other questions that I have. So including how we can enhance the effect of vitamin C, how do we really get the vitamin C into our skin when we're using it at home? Can we use vitamin C for pigmentation? Does the science support vitamin C as a treatment for melasma? And can vitamin C help with acne at all? So we touch on that as well. So it's a great podcast, but we had a little issue with Natalie's sound. So I'm hoping that you'll be able to persevere through that. And just to let you know that we got a trigger warning for the very end of the podcast. There's mentions of sexual assault. So if you don't want to listen to that, then that happens at about the sort of 57, 58 minute mark. So you can turn off, and that's pretty much right at the end of the podcast. Hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome to Skincare with Friends with your host, Nia Patton.
And Natalie.
Hi.
I feel like I haven't seen you for ages, but
it's been a while.
When did we record the last one?
Don't know. About I don't know things ago? Like that. Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Hi, everybody. Nia has gone so mad and bonkers for the her research. Jesus Christ, she just keeps sending me words and graphs. So we've had to do a part two. And I suspect if we speak slowly, this might be a two-parter in itself. We might
have a
three-parter just on vitamin C. But you've been seriously doing a deep dive into this.
And,
it's so, so interesting.
It is.
Yeah. And also just to say, Nia's had a little bit of an accident today.
I did. I had an injury. I was cutting a potato and the knife slipped and went through, quite a decent chunk of my finger, nearly came off. Well, no, it didn't come off, but it was like a good centimeter into my finger. And I was like, oh, that's fine. I'll just put a cloth on it. And then went to carry on chopping the potatoes and then passed out. Lost consciousness.
Cold, hard, tiled
on the floor. I woke up not remembering who I was or why I was there, and then realized that I was alone.
And there was blood around you.
There was blood. And I super glued my finger back together. And it's fine. And I feel really odd. So this might be absolute gibberish
it could be. So just we'll take it easy on ourselves.
Yeah. So
take it easy on you.
If it's terrible, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy something about it.
I definitely think if you don't enjoy the podcast, you'll still learn from it.
Yes. Okay? There are facts, definitely. So,
yeah, there are loads of facts, graphs and pictures to be put up on the Skincare with Friends site, I'm sure.
Yeah. Defo.
So, if you were listening to us last week, and I'm sure you were, really have to use it, because I think the whole point we had this as a subject was because of a really controversial skincare professional by the name of Dr. Natalia Spearings, who loves to say controversial stuff. Actually, I can't stop watching her lives.
No,
because they are really informative. Like, she does know what she's talking about, but she does say some things and I think you can't mean that. So really, I think, did she basically just say you don't need vitamin C, or you're all doing it wrong?
No, she just said nobody should use it. There's no place in it for it in a skincare routine whatsoever.
don't use it. It just isn't going to help your aging or melasma. And you should use it underneath your sunscreen. It's good for that. But other than that, it has no skin benefits whatsoever.
Okay.
So I wanted to see if that was the case last week. And we decided that it wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is really good under sunscreen. So,
yeah,
you know, that's not, she agreed with that. So, you know, to say it has no place in anti-aging can't be true, because it's good for your skin as an antioxidant. So it will help with aging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the conclusions that was arrived at was that basically, yeah, like you said, it pairs great with sunscreen, but particularly with vitamin E and ferulic acid.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of products, and we'll get to that bit, re-varying in price.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's the triad of great working products with vitamin C that will help.
Yeah.
Reduce damage and free radicals in the skin. So over to you, really. What research have you been doing this week, Nia, in between painting?
Yeah.
Cutting vegetables.
Oh, God. It was so unfortunate. I got work tomorrow. Am I going to be able to dentist with a big hole in my finger?
You are able to cancel your 3 o'clock if that helps.
Yeah.
Really mean it.
I might be cancelling a lot more than my 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll give it a whirl.
I'm going to see, I'm planning on seeing Nia in a professional capacity tomorrow.
Yay.
But yeah, please, if you don't feel great.
No, we'll see. I might be completely fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I might well be completely fine.
So when you were feeling fine, you were doing research. What were you researching?
So basically, I'll recap last week's in case, you know, for some reason somebody didn't listen. Why would they not? Vitamin C is generally considered a good addition by all the science experts, all the dermatologists, people who do these studies. But it's unstable and it's difficult to formulate. And it'll only absorb into the skin if it's in a very acidic formula. So it's difficult for cosmetic science to formulate it into a product. And it's difficult for users because it's so acidic, it's going to be irritating. Mm-hmm. It can help with not only as a additive for sunscreen, but it can also help with skin texture, elasticity, lines. It might help with dry skin as well. Okay. So it's worth sort of trying to overcome the difficulties we've got with it and try and get it into our routine. So we discovered from last week that the derivatives like magnesium ascorbyl phosphate, ascorbyl tetraisopalmitate, ethyl ascorbic acid, ascorbic glucoside, and tetrahexyldecyl ascorbate. So they're the main ones you'll see in products. There is not great evidence that they work. So they might absorb into the skin, but they may well not convert to vitamin C once it's within the skin. So that's where we were at from last time. So after last time, I basically tried to find products that sort of fit the bill, that sort of worked within the criteria that these studies suggested would be best. So we want the product to be of pH less than 4. Ideally, the lower the better, really. So pH 2 would be better than 4 even. Okay. Should have water in it to help the vitamin C absorb. Concentration should be above 15%, ideally. And if it's got vitamin E and ferulic acid, that would be great. So the products I like, there's not that many products that fit with this. And I think it's because SkinCeuticals have a patent on their ingredients.
Do you know what? I was going to ask that because separately, those ingredients are pretty, you know, it's not like they're hard to come by. So I did think, when you think of CE and ferulic acid, SkinCeuticals to me is the only name that pops into my mind. So I did wonder, do they have a patent on actually being able to name that.
Yeah, I think they've got a patent on the formula, and they've probably got a trademark on the CE ferulic as well. Yeah.
Because a lot of the other ones that you're just about to list don't mention E and ferulic in their name.
No, it's not in the
title.
Which
is really interesting, even though they contain it. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you Google CE ferulic, hoping for a lot of serums to choose from, nothing much pops up apart from SkinCeuticals and where to get that.
And there was a brand that did pop up in my post saying that they did do this and it contained E and ferulic as well. I'm just going to go find them. I'm not sure if you've got it in your list here.
No. So, my lists, we've got SkinCeuticals, CE ferulic, and these ones I've, been able to find out their pH as well. So CE ferulic from SkinCeuticals is £129.89 for 30 mils.
That is a lot of coin.
Ton. Yeah.
That's a lot. Considering, most of these serums now will say, if you keep me in the fridge, I'll last maybe 2 to 3 months, but pretty much at room temperature, it's going to last 5 to 6 weeks and shut me out as soon as I start to go yellow.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money for 6 weeks.
It is. Every 6 weeks, 130 quid.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not going to do that ever. It doesn't matter what vitamin C does. That's too much money for me.
Yes, that is.
Yeah. So then there's Paula's Choice C15 Booster. That's £49 for 20 mil. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit more reasonable.
It is, but that's pretty pricey stuff.
Still quite expensive. Yeah. Drunk Elephant C Firma, 15% is £69.40 for 30 mil. Still a bit too much for me.
And sticky as all hell. I had a test with it and I just didn't like it. Yeah, it was very, very sticky.
Gross. No thanks. Yeah. Then we've got a couple of cheaper ones. So Geek and Gorgeous Sea Glow is 15% and it's €10.50 for 30 mils. So that's a lot more like it, isn't it?
Right now is on my face. I made an order.
Yeah. So first application. Was it sticky?
Not at all. It's beautiful. Ooh. Watery, no residue. Lovely. It's really, really nice.
Amazing.
Serum. Yeah.
That sounds good. And that's a really good price. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's another one I found on Amazon, oddly enough. So it's called Super Serum, with the serum spelt with a C.
Yeah.
And it's 20% L-ascorbic acid and it's £16 for 15 mils.
Cool. Is that based in the UK?
I think it's a UK company. Yeah. I've been messaging them to find out what the pH was, and I think it was 3.5, something like that. So basically they have a novel way of doing it. So, and I was looking, there was some American brand called Dr. Brenner. So this is kind of a UK centric list because I'm a British person. Dr. Brenner was another one of the SkinCeuticals dupes that I saw quite a lot that was quite reasonably priced. But a lot of the reports on Amazon said that it's gone off. So, if we're getting things shipped over from like America and Canada, pretty much by the time it's got to us, it might have gone off because it goes off so quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so you need to think about where you're getting it from as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you are US-based, the brand that I was thinking of that got in touch with me and said that they basically do C and E and ferulic acid is called Jamila Beauty.
Okay,
and that's based in the States.
Jamila.
Yeah, cool. It's $24.
Cool. That sounds good.
30 mil. Yeah, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah. So this super serum, basically how it works is there's a powder capsule within the packaging and you sort of click it to activate it and release the powder into the rest of the formula to start using
it. That is novel.
Which seems like a great idea, yeah.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Mm. So it is fresh when you get it, definitely.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, it is. So that was my list. That's the only ones that I've been able to find. There might be more, but quite a lot of the products, the websites don't list the pH. So I didn't you know, I need, if I was going to be complete about it, then I would message all the brands and ask them for the pHs, but I ain't got time for that.
Yeah, maybe I will one day. Good to know actually of the one you use at the Geek and Gorgeous what the pH is, because
I think it's good. Well, I think because otherwise I wouldn't have put it on the list if it was not okay. Right. Yeah.
So it's definitely under 4. We just don't know.
I can't remember what percentage exactly, but I think it was a good low percentage.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully I'll get a nice little graphic with all those products and put it on our Instagram so that people can have a look. But yeah, I wouldn't be spending 130 quid for SkinCeuticals. That's daylight robbery.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, this is something that you said, really, we need to be wearing it, pairing it with our sunscreen, so we're using it on a daily basis. So yeah, it's not a couple of times a week jobby that's going to last you, you know. For I don't buy lots of expensive products, and I don't know if you do, but really for me, like the fractionated eye contour concentrate by NIOD is probably pound for pound the most expensive thing I buy, but you know, that kind of lasts me 2-3 months if I'm being good.
Yeah,
but yeah, that is very
stingy with it.
Yeah. Okay. So
on to today's researching and questioning. So basically, last time when I was doing the podcast research last time, there was a few other things that I was like, oh, we could find out about this as well. And I thought, let's have a little look and see what the research has got. So these are the questions that I had for the internet. How do you enhance the effect or increase the absorption of vitamin C, considering it doesn't absorb into the skin very well? How do we get it in there? Can we use vitamin C for pigmentation? Does it actually work for melasma? Can it help with acne? Is there any evidence for vitamin C and acne? And do the vitamin C derivatives actually have any benefits at all? Should we bother using them?
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's quite a lot of information. So we might have to split this into two podcasts.
We might do. And I have a question from a listener as well. But I'll put that to you afterwards if we've got time, or if not, we'll just add it to next week.
What is it? I need to know.
It's just someone who has acne and he's is very nervous about using vitamin C and wants to know what sort of like-for-like antioxidant they could use, really, that would have a similar effect.
Yeah, there isn't anything the same, but you should use lots of antioxidants.
Yeah,
vitamin C is, you know, an antioxidant, and it's supposed to, you know, boost collagen and sort of brighten
what
the skin.
If you weren't using vitamin C.
Yeah. So, you know, there's antioxidants you can use, but they're not going to do the same thing as vitamin C is meant to use. But yeah, just use lots of antioxidants, as many as you can get. Azelaic acid is quite good because that helps with aging and brightening as well. And it does have an antioxidant effect. It'll help with acne. So that might be one.
Are you still using your azelaic acid from Dermatica?
I'm never going to stop using it because it's controlling my chin spots. You know, those big Craig spots I get like every month.
I haven't seen Craig in ages.
No.
Ages and ages. Sorry, anyway, I will answer that question to our listener. So, going back to your first question that you wanted to ask, your burning question is how to enhance the effect of vitamin C or increase its absorption into the skin for maximum impact.
Yes.
Okay.
Because basically vitamin C is hydrophilic. Yeah, to get the vitamin C into the skin, because it's hydrophilic, you might have to use different measures. So loads of the studies, none of the studies pretty much just use vitamin C applied to skin, hardly any of them. There's loads of studies which use different things to get the vitamin C into the skin.
Okay.
So maybe that's what we should be thinking about doing ourselves at home. So there was sort of three main ones. There's something called iontophoresis. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Nope.
So it's quite often used for excessive sweating.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically it's using an electric current through the skin. Yeah, it's called, you know, it's described as a voltage gradient. So you might get a bath which has an electric current flowing through it, and you have like a pad put on your skin so that the electric current flows through from the bath into your body and around. So to stop like excessive hand sweating, for instance.
Oh, okay. That's really interesting. All right.
Yeah. And this is what quite a lot of these studies use to get the vitamin C into the skin.
Okay.
Yeah. So can we do iontophoresis at home? I don't know.
Kind of sounds dangerous to try it.
Yeah. Is there a device? You know, like some of the studies used an iontophoresis mask, which is like a mask that's applied to your face. The electric current goes in and you have something in your hand, so the electric current comes out again. But I don't know if these are commercially available.
This just sounds like an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah. I've got it's called a Rio 60-second facelift. I may have mentioned it before. And it's like a phoradic massager. So you put the thing onto your skin and it makes the muscles underneath your skin tense and relax. And it's got a iontophoresis setting on it.
Cool.
Yeah. I already had this. So I'm like, okay, I have an iontophoresis machine. I don't know if it works, but there's definitely
the you could basically fill a garage with all of the little things that you've got.
I know, and I'm
got your mad LED lamp.
Yeah, I'm terrible at using them. I love buying them and then I don't use them because I'm too lazy.
This is why I don't buy the, do you know what, the only thing that I bought that I thought, oh yeah, I'm going to use this once or twice and it's still going 15 years later, is the most painful contraption known to man, which is the epilator.
I
still use that cow. Yeah, she's horrible.
You're insane. You just rip your hair out of your body though, don't you? I don't do that.
I do. I rip most of the hair out of my body on a 3-monthly basis, I guess.
Jesus. So, have you got any nerve endings left?
Weirdly, no matter how often I get waxed, it will always hurt behind my knees and on my shins.
Well, yeah.
Funny, fine, no feeling there whatsoever.
No, I think I did it twice and I was like, this is it? Not for me at all.
Oh man, it is for me.
My husband will deal with my hairy bush and he'll love it.
It's back in. I just think, oh, it's lovely. I just, you know, I even have to go for my armpits.
Whoa. No way.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, totally.
Back on track.
Yeah, so you use an epilator. I used to use it when I was 20. And I remember having to get, you know, a couple of drinks down my neck to do it.
Mm. Yeah, I've never done it sober. To be serious. I don't ever do a hangover. Oh,
the kind of thing you need a wooden spoon for.
Yeah, exactly. It is as bad as very early labour in some parts.
Yeah.
Sorry. So iontophoresis.
So yeah.
You have one of those. Of course you do.
Maybe I do. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. I'm going to give it a whirl though because I've got it.
Okay. So and. The second one here.
Yeah, so iontophoresis works. Yeah. If you've got a machine, why would you? Microneedling is the other thing. So lots of studies use microneedling. Yeah.
So you haven't had microneedling, right? Or you have?
I have. I did have it. But it was more, I didn't go for it. I was a model for someone for an open evening.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And it didn't, you know, I only had one treatment. It was fine. I didn't find it painful. and but it didn't do anything either. But then I only had it once, so that's not a surprise, really. So this study showed a significant and lasting effect using 20% L-ascorbic acid with 1.5 microneedle rollers for melasma.
Okay.
So it was 6 sessions, 2 weeks apart, and the results were sustained for more than 3 months. Okay. And I've got the photo up for Natalie to see. It's a lady with quite severe melasma in the before photo, and after 6 sessions, micro rolling with 20%.
The difference.
Yeah,
that's incredible. It's huge. Isn't it?
Yeah. It looks totally different.
And it texturally as well, it looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had sort of a moustache, quite dark moustache area, and that's pretty much gone. I'll put the photos up online.
The eyebrows as well on the eyelids. I mean, that's where I get mine too.
Mm-hmm.
On the outer corners of my eyelids is where I have mine.
Yeah.
Funny, isn't it? But that looks incredible.
Yeah. You know, and in these studies where they're using these 1.5 microneedles, these are, you know, they're not doing this at home. People are coming into a clinic and they're having topical anesthetic for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's something that needs to be done by a professional, really. Because of the depth of the needles, everything needs to be sterile and clean.
Yeah.
And you need anesthetic because it'll piss in hurt.
Yeah. I always think with the home microneedling, it kind of goes through me a bit because I just think, how are you cleaning that?
Yeah.
You know,
like I've tried to use it. I had one and it made me feel squeamish because I'd clean it with alcohol, but it's, you know, you just can't know that it's clean. You need to have a fresh one every time, really.
Yeah.
And it hurts. And you're wondering, are the needles bent in any way? Because they're really, really small. You can't see. No, I don't know if I like the home microneedling idea.
No.
Fair enough. That's, you know, I think maybe it's something, because looking at those results, it's something I quite like to start doing in my clinic.
Yes. Oh yeah, please do. I'll be booked in. We
could do it as an experiment, couldn't we?
Oh yeah, please feel free. Play with my face. This second study is really interesting.
Yeah.
So you said here that there was another study which measured the effect of microneedling with 20% ascorbic acid versus tranexamic acid.
Yeah.
And we've spoken about tranexamic acid lots. Mm. And how it can be comparable with hydroquinone when treating sort of pigmentation issues. But here, so you said the needles were 1.5 millimeters again, and there were two treatments 4 weeks apart. So this showed improvement in melasma for both the ascorbic acid and tranexamic, but the tranexamic acid had better results.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it could be something that you could, you could maybe use tranexamic acid and vitamin C.
Yeah. Does that feature in your skincare routine at the moment, tranexamic acid?
No, it doesn't actually. No. I had the Exaglow from Face Theory. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem to do anything.
It doesn't. But then I was speaking to a lady, a doctor in India, and she said, just keep going. It's not a sort of one and done.
No,
it's quite a slow to see results, but they are results. I think it was quite high percentage tranexamic acid, wasn't it, as well, by Face Theory?
Yeah.
Is it like 5%?
Yeah, I think it was 5, yeah.
Yeah. I did the same as you. I used it once and then didn't again, but I might restart.
Yeah, because if it's going to maintain results in between breaks in hydroquinone, that would be great.
Exactly.
But I, you know, that's the thing. I think I used it on the break and it didn't stop the melasma from coming back even.
No.
If I remember correctly.
No, definitely didn't. Same for me. I used it in a hydroquinone break as well and it didn't do anything for me. But I think I'm going to give it a chance still.
What choice have you got when you're on a break?
Well, quite. No choice but to cry. Although my hydroquinone break is going to be really well timed. because I've got my last month's supply now, which runs out mid-November. And when it goes into the winter months, I just care less.
Yeah.
Obviously, the sun is less sun. Strong. Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, so the third thing that would increase absorption and efficacy of vitamin C you've got here is mechanical or chemical exfoliation.
Yes.
So why is that? Why would that be better?
The dead skin cells on the top of your skin are the barrier to this vitamin C getting into the deeper layers where the cells are alive. Yeah. So removing that stratum corneum or the dead skin layer would help the vitamin C to get in there. So you could do this with a acid peel or using dermabrasion or laser. That's quite often used. It could be something that you do sort of fairly regularly and then use the vitamin C alongside it to try and get it into the skin to boost the effect of your chemical peel, for instance.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So these are all sort of traumatic to the skin, really. Quite. Yeah.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah. But, you know, if you're on a journey of skin rejuvenation, then that might be something you want to think about. It's a little chemical peel. Yeah, I use a brand called PCA Skin for my skin peels, and I haven't really done any skin peels because their peels are really namby-pamby. They're not actually. They're 30% glycolic peels.
Okay.
So nothing that's going to make a long-term change to your skin. But they've recently brought out a TCA peel. I don't know if you've heard of TCA. Okay. I can't remember what it stands for, but it's acid. It doesn't just break up the bonds between the skin cells. It actually dissolves skin cells.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It sounds like something I'd love to have done to me, but also really frightened me as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's proper, you know, like thingy from Sex and the City, walking around with a veil because your face is gone. It's that kind of situation.
Okay, yeah.
I can now prescribe peels like that. And the lady was like, I'll come back and we'll do peels on each other. And la la la, I'm like, oh my God, shall I have a chemical peel? Like, that removes my face.
So TCA peel is trichloroacetic acid.
Acetic acid? Yeah.
An analog of acetic acid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, it's probably like a week's downtime to do it.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. But you would see results. Yeah, yeah. Your face, you know, your skin will literally start peeling off. I don't know if I've got the balls. I don't know.
No, I don't right now. I'm scared of anything that I just think could, that I just need to take a lot of downtime for. I just haven't got the...
No, I haven't got time.
I don't have the patience.
No.
You know?
I
always think that. I just love to have this procedure and that one. I just think, I haven't got the patience for it.
No.
I do too many school runs as well.
That's it. You know, you've got to take children to school. You can't get away from that.
No.
No.
Although I mainly wear mask, shades and a baseball cap anyway. So I'm the freak.
You already look like the Invisible Man.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
People talk to me.
I love having a chat at the school. That's my fave.
Do you? Yeah. Oh. Christ, I hate it. Well, it depends. I mean, I'm allergic to small talk these days. It's really weird. But I think that's one of the side effects of being a pandemic for such a long time. You know, everyone does forget their social skills a little bit.
Yeah. You think you're innately an introvert?
Yes, even though I think that's probably not my, you know, natural state.
As an actress and an introvert, it's very confusing.
It is. I think most actors are introverted, weirdly.
Yeah. That's very complicated.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
next question for the science to answer was, should we use vitamin C for pigmentation? Is there any scientific evidence that it cures or prevents melasma? So, yeah, not that much research around to show that it does, really, as a sort of standalone topical, without any microneedling or chemical exfoliation, there is not a lot of research for it. So this is what Wang had to say in 2018. Whether vitamin C can inhibit melanogenesis is controversial. Most studies have agreed that although it cannot kill melanocytes, vitamin C does inhibit melanogenesis. Furthermore, the combination of vitamin C and vitamin E inhibits melanocyte production more significantly than vitamin C alone.
So is inhibiting melanogenesis, does that mean stopping the melanocytes from forming in the first place?
No, stopping the melanocytes from making melanin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
okay,
it doesn't like get rid of the cells that make melanin, but it can stop the melanin from coming out of the cells.
That kind of does say that, you know,
inhibit.
Help.
Yeah. To what extent, you know?
Okay.
Does it absorb?
But the combination of vitamin C and vitamin E
seems to be
melanocyte production
more effective. So another vote for the products we already mentioned.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I found a couple of studies that mention it, but you know, not really small studies, so and not a lot of them, so it's not great evidence, even though the study is positive,
right?
It's not good enough really for you to go, yes, this is the cure. So there's one study that used vitamin C on one side of the face and hydroquinone on the other side of the participant's face over the course of 4 months. We found that vitamin C minimizes oxidized melanin, which changed the pigmentation from black to tan. Consequently, ascorbic acid may have an important effect on hyperpigmentation, such as melasma. In our trial, it was observed that with 5% L-ascorbic acid, 62.5% of the patients showed good or excellent subjective results, confirming the lightening effect. Colorimetric analysis showed no statistic difference between the two treatments, implying that the melanin component decreased similarly between vitamin C and hydroquinone. And that was by Espinal Perez in 2004. It's a small study, but it raises an interesting fact that vitamin C could change the tone of the pigmentation from dark black to brown and tan. So it might just change the sort of impact of the pigmentation, make it look less dark,
less striking, visible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rather than just getting rid of it. So, you know, as opposed to hydroquinone that will eventually remove the pigmentation completely, which is what I found it does anyway, because some of my pigmentation is gone when I'm on hydroquinone.
Yeah, and actually it's only when you stop using the hydroquinone that it comes back in places that you weren't concentrating on. I don't know if whether you find that, and I think, oh yeah, I used to have it on my cheeks. I forgot that.
Yeah, like I get a lot of freckliness around the top of my forehead that went away completely when I first started using it.
So my friend Ron has it in patches, but she's also of Indian descent as well.
Yeah.
So she doesn't know whether that is, you know, either sort of impacted by genetics or sun damage or hormones or what really. But obviously, I think now the most she can get percentage-wise of hydroquinone in the States is it 2%?
2% over the counter, though.
Yeah.
They'll still be able to get whatever percentage prescribed. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so she can, but she hasn't yet, I don't think.
No.
So she's looking at microneedling, I think, soon, and then sort of having something prescribed. I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? Because it really gets you down too, because it's all you can see, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's like any imperfection or anything you've got your mind trained on to look at, isn't it?
Yeah. Like I tried to take photos today for a product I was sent, and I couldn't look nice in the pictures because there's all this brown. I just don't look nice in photos. I don't look like a young person in a photo anymore, no matter how I angle the picture and how good the lighting is, it's over.
I had to put that one to bed for me a while ago. I was annoyed that I didn't get ID'd this evening for a bottle of wine.
Oh yeah, that hasn't happened for ages.
Yeah, just card me once.
Yeah, just you know, just to cheer me up, like.
Yeah, that's not melasma. So we've already talked about the 2020 study, with tranexamic acid, but you do have more split before and after pictures, which you'll put up on the website.
Yeah,
which again, that's quite a marked difference.
Yeah, so you know it's only two sessions of microneedling with tranexamic acid or vitamin C, and the melasma is a lot less dark. So to the woman in the photo, I bet it's not that noticeable because you can kind of still see the pigmentation, but it's visible in photos and it looks much better.
Oh yeah, looks amazing.
So I think, you know, microneedling with vitamin C is quite an or tranexamic acid is quite an interesting, promising treatment by the look of it.
Okay, so basically it can help, but like you said, the studies have been quite not in depth and not
small studies, not many of them. Yeah. And most of the studies involve some other method of getting the vitamin C into the skin, which you may well not have available in your home, like iontophoresis and microneedling.
Long and short of it, use tranexamic acid too if you are going to be using it for help with melasma, and obviously hydroquinone.
That's it.
Okay.
I kind of feel like, you know, we've been talking for a while and we've still got absolutely shed loads to talk about, so maybe
we're on page 3 of 6.
Yeah, we could just split this into another little another bonus little vitamin C episode.
Well, yeah, totally, because I think it's worth going this in depth because you are pretty, you know, damn knowledgeable about all things skincare. I think some of the things that you've read over the past couple of weeks have probably changed the way that you're going to be using vitamin C and what you're going to be using. So I do think it's worth going, you know, in depth into it.
Yeah, why not? Because what else have we got to do? I just really enjoy it.
Get drunk in a park again.
Yes.
It's been 6 months since we've
I'm not meeting you in a park. Sorry, love, but it's raining outside.
It is. It's super Welsh, the weather at the moment. But actually, this is UK wide. So I feel like,
rain is the order of the day. Everybody get indoors. Yeah.
Okay. Can we do one more question about vitamin C helping with acne? Only because I think it's pertinent to what our lovely listener Alex was asking us. So, your question about can it help with acne, and what does science have to say about vitamin C and acne?
Okay, so I mean, I wouldn't grab for the vitamin C if I had a spot, because ascorbic acid is quite irritating, especially when it's got to be acidic, and I find that it gives me blackheads as well. So but I've, you know, reading it sort of kind of changed my mind a little bit. So there was a quote in a study that stuck out to me. So Wang again in 2018 great name. Integrity of the skin barrier may be related to the differentiation of keratinocytes, which affects the function of the skin barrier and causes skin diseases. Vitamin C enhances the late differentiation of keratinocytes and overcomes the differentiation-dependent oxidative stress and maintains the integrity of the entire cuticle, which is an important prerequisite for the integrity of the skin barrier, ensuring the function of skin barrier and preventing skin water loss, which can in turn lead to skin disorders.
Okay.
So it's good for health.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm going to kind of split this question into two. So your friend wants to know if she can use vitamin C.
Yes. I'm assuming that she has used vitamin C in its pure form and has not had great results, or she's heard that it's really not great to use if you have acne and therefore has just given it a wide berth.
I kind of agree with it. You know, I think that's a very sensible approach.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing as every time I've tried to use vitamin C, my acne's got worse. And then you obviously got to spend the next few weeks healing from your experiment.
Okay.
Which is a crying shame. Yeah, it's hard work, and it's really, you know, that's not nothing. It's really upsetting to have to heal your skin after a breakout. So I think if you wanted to try and use it, like we know that the derivatives don't really work. So there's no point in using them, sadly. So you could try, if you wanted to use vitamin C for aging, you could try something called short contact therapy.
Okay.
Which is just applying the vitamin C, get a good vitamin C product that's going to sting. You want it to sting, because if it's not stinging, it's just going to be sitting on your face because it's not acidic enough.
Okay.
So you need it to be stingy and acidic. And apply it, let it soak in for about 15 minutes ish, and then wash it off.
Okay.
And then moisturize loads.
All right.
That would be something that you could try. And that's something that I'm giving a whirl now.
Right. And are you using the powder then?
I'm using the powder, but I tried it today and I couldn't get I got pH meter in my house like a weirdo. I couldn't get the pH low enough. It was 4, which
would
be lower. I was like, you know what, I think I might just buy the super serum one off Amazon, because then at least I know somebody else has done the formulation for me and all I've got to do is just pump it into my hand and done. You know, I don't disagree with the powder being sold. Like Lab Muffin had a bit of a thing about the powder, saying it was not lazy formulation. And I kind of, when it comes to vitamin C, I maybe agree, because it's hard to get the pH right.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got the pH right, it won't work.
Okay.
So anyway, I probably just really confused your friend. With a simple question about can she use vitamin C? Yes, use it cautiously. Try short contact therapy. So use it like a face mask, apply it, let it soak in 15 minutes and then rinse it off.
Okay.
And hopefully that will, you know, overcome the irritation of the vitamin C just sitting on top of your skin, not absorbing and oxidizing.
Right.
That would be my idea. But if she doesn't want to try it, then she could use any number of other antioxidants. So azelaic acid would be my first choice, like I said, for her. UK 134, there's the SDSM, the NIOD stuff, fantastic.
Yeah, it's lovely. I've run out of that. Do you like pycnogenol?
Sure, all of them. Get them all on.
Yeah. Okay.
More the merrier when it comes to antioxidants.
Nothing has the exact same.
Not exactly the same, no.
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 Okay.
No, you know, and if you go on, you know, something like Reddit and look at people's before and afters with vitamin C, it looks really good.
Really? You know,
people with like redness and just sort of unhealthy looking skin. after the vitamin C, it looks like healthier, more resilient skin, brighter, bouncier. I'm like, yeah, that looks good to me.
I kind of miss the days of, so we'll come back to that question. We are going to do three parts, clearly. We're going to come back to that question and more next week. But I was looking back on photos from like when I first started using, you know, whatever you told me to use really 4 or 5 years ago. And like, my skin looks so amazing, but it's, of course it's going to, because I went from, you know, using Nivea on my face.
Nivea.
And probably using wipes and sleeping in my makeup to actually, you know, starting to use like 2 or 3 really good products. So the difference was marked. I just wish it was like that all the time.
It is like that all the time. Just, you wouldn't know, but other people can see it.
Yeah. I'm very red and raw at the moment. I feel that, definitely. Mm. Very shiny.
Yeah, it's hard to know, isn't it? What would we look like if we hadn't done anything in our 40s? No. I think, not that I want to blow my own trumpet or anything, but like I got a new dental nurse. So obviously we are going through the initial phases of me changing her entire life. She's really nice. She's like, oh, because I was talking to a patient about skincare. She's like, oh, you like skincare? I was like, yeah. And she was like, what should I use then? And like, you know, when somebody says, what should I use then? And you're like, how can you even say that to me? How can we even be asked that question? And I just sort of take a breath and I'm like, oh my God. Right. Okay. Okay. Right. First of all, sunscreen. You just got to get your sunscreen. Have you got a sunscreen? And then we can talk. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, oh yeah, but I use sunbeds though. I'm like, right, you're not going to do that anymore. Yeah. That's over for you now. I'd heard a rumor that
fake tans around. There's just no need. These things should be illegal. I just don't understand it.
It's so dangerous, so bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so she's not going to do that anymore. She promised me.
Did she really? Okay, do you believe her?
Yeah, I do. She's really nice. And she was like, okay.
You'll be able to tell anyway. You'll just give her that look.
Yeah, she'll look all freckly one day.
You'll give her a quick ocular pat down.
Yeah.
And go, those freckles, it's November. Where are they from?
Yeah. You look a bit pink around the nose. What have you been doing, young lady?
Oh, my God. I used to go on my lunch hour when I was in school.
Ugh. Oh, shit. Oh, God.
Cambridge Road East. It's still there. It's the same.
It is, yeah. It is, yeah. The lady smoking outside.
Yeah, by the sex shop.
Yeah. Charming place.
It is. I love Cambridge Road East.
And me.
Favorite places in Cardiff. Let's do a three-parter, because Nia cut herself, and so, you know.
Yeah, I'm a bit dizzy.
You glued your finger. Sorry, can we go back to that? You glued it with super glue.
Yes.
With your husband's super glue that's just lying on his sort of carpentry.
No, I have it's not it is Loctite super glue, but yeah, it's not been used on a shelf or anything. I keep super glue in my kitchen in case of skin injuries. Yeah, but that's what they use in the hospital. It's just super glue. That's what super glue was invented for.
You just clean it and put super glue,
dry it out on it. Yeah, and put super glue on it. It's magical. Anything that won't stop bleeding.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's really good. I'm going to keep that in mind. I should have known that when I had a cafe. I cut myself with a tin opener. Shit. And it didn't stop bleeding for 3 hours. I was like, what am I going to do? I can't drive to A&E.
No.
That's the thing, you start panicking. She's like, I can't change gears. I'm left-handed. I'm fucked.
It's going to be blood everywhere. What am I supposed to do? Yeah, that's why you need to have a few tubes of super glue in the house.
Yeah, I've only got Gorilla Glue. That's not going to do the trick.
No, it's not the same at all. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember, like, because when COVID first happened, I remember thinking, right, we may not be, you know, if there's an emergency, we may not be able to get into A&E to get stitched up. I'll buy some plenty of super glue.
You're such a good organized mother, stroke wife.
Stroke weirdo.
Yeah, but weird, but organized. I think that's amazing.
Made sure I had loads of super glue. Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. It's, you know.
If you're going to take anything from this podcast tonight, listeners, it's that.
Buy some super glue. Put it in your kitchen.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing. So you didn't go to L'Hôpital. You didn't go to a sputty.
No, I just thought, like, shall I go to the hospital now? But by the time I probably get to a doctor, it will have healed because of the weight there. And they'll be like, oh, you got a small cut in your finger.
Yeah, it'd be embarrassing then.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? I'm just terrible at stuff like that. My friend called me up and she went, can you come and help me? I think I've hurt my wrist. So I was like, okay, I'll be up there now. And I walked up to her house and, she showed me her wrist and it was, you know,
floppy.
It was pretty bad. And I was just like, I can't look at it. I can't even. I said, Jill, just put your hand underneath it and I'll call NHS Direct. Anyway, it ended up having to drive to the Heath.
Yeah.
But I was just like, God, I'd be shit in an emergency because that, just the look of that, was my stomach was flipping over and over.
Stuff happens. Oh, it's quite unnerving. Yeah.
Yeah, and she kept showing it to me. I was like, don't show me.
Stop showing me.
I'm trying
thing.
To drive you to the hospital.
I'm going to faint.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm okay. It's going to be fine.
Good.
My children were really freaked out.
Let me know how you feel tomorrow, seriously.
I'll be fine.
Because, yeah, I hope so. But if you're not, just cancel your whole day and chill out.
That'd be so nice. Cool.
Okay.
So more vitamin C next time. But I think I'm learning stuff. I hope you are too.
Yeah. So next week we will talk a little bit more about science and what it says about using vitamin C when you have acne.
Yeah.
So we'll go a little bit more into that. We'll also talk about what products are good to use with that. We'll also talk about the derivatives of vitamin C. And if they have any benefits at all, should we keep using them? Because like we discussed last week, their efficacy is and results are kind of limited.
Yeah.
We will also talk about what Nia has learned now and has her outlook on vitamin C changed? Yeah. Well, I think it has.
Yeah. How am I going to approach this new information and how does it apply to my daily routine? Can you think of any other questions? Because if I've got more time, I can look at more things.
Well, we'll put it to our
our
Instagram followers and listeners and guys on Facebook. They've got a whole week then to ask us vitamin C related questions.
Yeah,
you know, but a lot of what I was asked last week was, I'm using it and I don't see a difference. Should I bother continuing? So
you might not be using the right product.
You might, or it might be that you don't actually have, you know, if you haven't got melasma, for example, and you're not looking for something visibly to improve apart from sort of, you know, brightness or something sort of
unobtainably
or just
better skin,
vague, that might not, you know, might not be doing it for you. So we'll put it to listeners. So if you've got anything to ask us, I would say I am more on Instagram than I am on Facebook, but Nia is very good at checking our Skincare with Friends Facebook page.
Yeah.
And then it's Skincare.
Yeah, I'm more
with
of a Facebook person. I don't think I like Instagram very much. No, not really.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like the fact that Instagram are in control of my interactions with people. So it's up to them to show my posts to people.
Oh, okay.
Might not happen for some reason.
Right. Yeah, and people get shadow banned and hidden.
I got shadow banned. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
it's
like
so weird.
I was persecuted for no reason.
Messages and things like that. It's really strange. You know what they're really hot on is taking things down when you mention male violence against women. Apparently.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, sounds pretty shocking. So yeah, very very weird. But maybe that's just a lot of the accounts I follow, you know.
Yeah.
It's really weird, especially in light of everything that's happened in Britain this week.
You know, Sarah Everard.
Yeah, so there was a man who was an acting, was he acting police officer? Yeah, he was an acting police officer who murdered a woman in March of this year. I was just thinking, he got sentenced really quickly. But it turns out, so he did that and he was acting as a policeman when he took her, but he actually arrested her as well and used some sort of lame, vague COVID excuse as a reason for her arrest. Just terrifying. But anyway, he's one of the few people in Britain to receive a whole life sentence, because we don't really do that in Britain. I think there's only like 30 or 40 convictions in Britain or something like that that have whole life sentences.
Yeah.
So really shit.
Anyway, poor woman.
Such a crap note to end it on. And of course, Sabina Nessa as well. That's another girl who was murdered 2 weeks ago. And just really. She,
people who were just walking home.
Just walking. Yep.
Mm.
So everyone stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's our duty to keep ourselves safe, really.
Mm-hmm. No,
people's duty to leave us alone, but
no, absolutely. I've been attacked walking home from work, and
really,
what
recently?
No, it was probably 2003 2004. I was walking home from working in the hospital. I was walking under an underpass, but it was broad daylight. It was Gabalva, so a big open area, lots of people walking around. It's a young, I was talking on the phone and a young man walked up behind me, stuck his hand between my legs. I was wearing trousers and just gave me a squeeze. I don't know how you describe it.
God.
So I was like, I don't want to repeat what I was shouting at him, but I was calling him all sorts of names. And he was just kept turning around smiling at me. He was quite a handsome young man. And I just kept shouting at him, "You're a pervert. I'm coming
really
after you.
I'm
going to get you. My husband's enormous. He's coming around the corner." And he just started looking more and more nervous. And he started pegging it. But yeah, nobody came around the corner.
They don't want you to react. They love that you don't react. Like, because I used to live in Paris. And honestly, sexual assault on the metro was kind of a once monthly event. But it was like a guy in a suit did it once. And I was like, what the fuck? Not that they should look a certain way, but kind of it is a little bit shocking when you think, do you need me to work? Why have you got your hand on my fanny? Like, so
it's
weird.
It makes, I don't know, it's a really worrying sign, isn't it?
It is a really worrying sign, but this is what makes me so angry when men are like, why don't you fight back? And honestly, it's so shocking. And also, you don't want to make a tit of yourself. But that was the one thing that made me not scream in his face, is that I didn't want to embarrass him and me. How weird is
it's
that?
It's a weird thing, isn't it? And that's what they're relying on, is your basic human decency to behave like a normal, polite person.
Yeah.
I'm going to force you to feel really, really uncomfortable by making you behave in a way that's totally unnatural, because you're being sexually assaulted in a public place.
Yeah,
it's that disgusting power they have over you that makes you feel so stupid and small afterwards, and so embarrassed. And why didn't I do anything?
I know.
It's grim.
So I told my friend that it happened, and like we kind of laughed about it uncomfortably. But for weeks afterwards, I would spontaneously burst into tears.
Yeah, hell
whenever I thought about it.
Yeah,
and I was more angry with myself for not fucking just punching him in the neck. And I was so annoyed.
And it's not your fault. Nothing to feel bad about.
Yeah, but you do. You completely anger yourself for not just telling the man next to you, this guy's got his hand on my vagina.
Yeah. And you play it back, don't you, and go, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that?
And another really big thing is, and when you read a lot of these, like, you know, there's sexual assaults and then there's like super serious sexual assaults. Mm-hmm. And you read what women do, which is like freeze and like go along with stuff. And then you completely understand.
Oh, yeah.
Why that happens, because you don't fight back a lot of the time. Even if you did know self-defense, it's not going to help when you're on a packed tube or whatever. It's so weird.
It is awful.
We'll have to cut this out of the podcast because it's really,
I don't know if I'm going to cut it out. I don't think I want to cut it out because
we'll just have to put a content warning on. You know, I have to do it these little days, don't you?
Yeah, it gets a little bit. How would you describe it? There's content regarding female assault towards the end.
Yeah, I guess so. Or just like content warning for sexual assault. If you don't want to hear that, just cut the podcast off at the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, but I replay on the metro in Paris getting followed by that group. Did I tell you about the group of men?
No.
That followed me. There was three of them, and I actually thought, I looked down at what I was wearing and I thought, this is what I'm going to be identified in the morgue. Like, that's how close I thought I was to being
murdered. This is it.
Yeah, totally it. And like, yeah, just awful things that I replayed. And it was three men following me on the metro. And I got off the tube and they got off as well and followed me. Then I decided to go on the other side of the platform in the opposite direction to check that I wasn't being paranoid, and I wasn't, because they followed me there too.
Shit.
And this went on for about 40 minutes. So it went from being rush hour to pretty quiet. And I ended up stupidly getting on a line that, not stupidly, I was shitting myself at this point, getting on a line that was really quiet. So there's like three main lines in Paris and it was not one of those. And there wasn't many people on. I remember getting on the tube and like pulling the inner, you know, those really hard carriage doors open, like pulling them open and running to the end of the thing and looking out and seeing like, fuck, there's literally no one sitting on this carriage. I'm going to be like,
shit,
and murdered. I know.
Where were the men?
Like, following.
In the train.
They followed me everywhere. They started running when I got off the platform and onto the quiet line. They ran onto the quiet line and literally he pulled the door open and held it open for his friends so they could get on. Got to the end of the carriage. I saw one man and he sat with his back to me, one lone guy, and he looked really tall, like dark skinned black guy with a baseball cap. And I sat opposite him, and in French, I was like, please, can you help me? These men are following me. They're going to kill me. And in the like the most,
oh my God, New York accent, that's so dramatic.
I know. And then the most broad New York accent, he went, ma'am, I don't speak French.
And you're like, neither do I. Okay. You're gonna help me.
And I did, and all he needed to do was just stand up, and as he stood up and turned around,
so they came up to the carriage,
to the end of, so I was at one end of the carriage and they were at the end of the carriage, and he just came up and stood next to them and just stood in front of me with his arms folded, and they all just
disappeared
and got off the train. And then I took him for waffles and we remained friends the whole time.
Shut up. That sounds like the start of a film.
I know.
That's amazing.
He was kind of odd in his own way, but he was great.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, though. You know, he helped for waffles you.
And yeah, it did. He helped me. But so anyway, we forged a friendship, and that was, and it lasted for the 6 months that I was living in Paris.
Can I put this in the podcast?
Yeah, totally. Of course you
can. What an incredible story.
I replay that loads and loads because I just think all of the what ifs.
Thank God for Brad. He's like an angel.
Thank God for Brad, yeah. And he was in Paris because there was a really famous shop called Colette in Paris.
Yeah, I know Colette.
It's now closed down after 30 years.
Piss.
So it was really cool. It was like way too
really cool
for me to go in. Yeah, like it sold not even homewares. It was like collectibles and just cool shit. And fucking skateboard decks that cost thousands of pounds and like weird collectible dolls. And who's cool that guy who used to draw for the Super Furry Animals?
Fowler.
Pete Fowler. Yeah. So anyway, he was there because he designed this doll, this collectible doll, which had DJ decks on its back. And it was called BPM, Brad for Prime Minister, named after him. Anyway, he sold it to Colette.
Wow.
So that's what he was doing in Paris. So it but anyway, I was more annoyed that I was like, I had to fucking rely on a complete stranger to save my life. And unfortunately, I don't know what those guys would have done. They might have just been
they would have done something, wouldn't
to
they?
Scare me. Yeah, but they would have done something.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why, like,
isn't everyone like, we've all got stories like this, haven't we?
I know, but then you know, some people don't. It's really weird because
that's great. I'm so glad some people don't.
But I think it's weird that some people don't. It's like,
have you been outside?
I mean, I used to run around Roath Park, and I stopped running around Roath Park because one guy would. I used to run with H, and one guy would constantly hassle me running past and start running with me, and I just be like, fuck off at the end of the like. What can we do? Can't go running.
Can't walk home from work, even.
Back from work, yeah. It was. No. It's just really, really odd.
Yeah.
But yeah, find it really weird when people say, yes, I haven't been. I think those people can't ever have taken public transport in their lives or gone under an underpass.
They've just been lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very. Yeah, I hate underpasses for that reason.
Yeah.
How horrible. I'm really glad you shouted at him.
I did. I really did. I put the shit
up
him.
I'm so pleased. Yeah. I'm so pleased because that's not what they want.
I was like, you're a bloody pervert. You need your head red. Something wrong with you. I shouted at him down the road.
So my friend Adam, his mum,
yeah,
he lives just down the road from me. There's like fields and woods where we live, which I always think are quite like, ugh. You know, I don't run in there past sort of 4 o'clock.
No.
But she was walking her dog there and some young guy like properly dazzled her. Yeah, like flashed her, just got his cock out and, you know, waved it around in front of her. I was, oh my God, Ad, what did your mum do? And she just went, oh, put it away, love. I'm far too old.
Yeah.
without meaning to condescend him, he was like, oh, and did just put it
just
away.
Put it away.
Sloped off.
You haven't frightened me. You've just made me disappointed.
Yeah. I'm very disappointed in you, young man. You really shouldn't be doing that. Which again is brilliant.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's the way to put them in their place, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Just be safe. Whatever you do.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no point in saying don't. Do this, don't do that, because it can happen at any point to anybody.
I hate it, and that really pisses me off, because it's not, the onus really isn't on us to, obviously there are steps you can take, you know, like letting people know where you are and all the rest of it, but sorry, when you're on your way home from work, you're on your way home from work.
Yeah, just walking around the corner, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah,
just hope that you don't come across some absolute lunatic dickhead.
Yeah.
You can't stay in your house all day long, that's for sure.
No, I know.
There's no words of advice here, is there?
that's what I was just thinking. Oh, I really want my daughter to go out into the big wide world and not be scared. At the same time, she told me she was moving to Paris. I'd be like, not that, you know, nowhere is more dangerous than anywhere else. You know, in these big metropolitan areas, but it's just that my bad experience happened.
Yeah,
to
it's put you off.
Yeah. And it does make you go, fuck, Jesus. Mm. Oh, I'll get you a gun. I'll get you a gun.
Can we have some sort of small cattle prod for our children to go about with?
Would you use mace? I would totally use pepper spray, but I just
a little tiny little lipstick taser. Like from.
Yeah.
Minions, Despicable Me. Lipstick taser.
And she flips her foot up.
Yeah. And he's like twitching on the floor.
I would get it wrong. I'd get it the wrong way around and tase myself. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I'd
just totally. Be so flustered. You'd just be you'd be rooting around in your handbag quite innocently looking for something and you'd tase yourself.
Oh, that's actually lipstick. Oh, sorry.
I just tased my lip by accident.
Tune in next week. It's going to be far cheerier. Sorry.
Yeah.
Really went off on a tangent, and we are going to put a content warning at the beginning of that.
Yes. Thank you for listening. Come and find us on Skincare with Friends Instagram, Neopattern Looks, and Natalie SWF on Instagram. And come and find us on Facebook at the Skincare with Friends Facebook group. Thank you for enjoying our company.
We've enjoyed yours.
Yes. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.